to connect with Krishna, some of us to connect for the first time and to explore what this secret of the Dham is all about. Others of us, we connected before, but somewhere on the way we lost that connection. And then we must reconnect now. We came to reconnect. Maybe a little different than before. First we connect with eagerness, but an eagerness that doesn't come from attachment to Krishna, but an eagerness that comes from being tired of material life. But that eagerness wears out. Therefore, connecting, reconnecting is an ongoing process. And again, we come not ordinary places, not ordinary people, but yet also not completely, we're also not seeing the spiritual world. We come to such places and we visit the temples and because it's through temples that we perceive the Dham. It's like Radhakund and Shyamakund, we appreciate nice ghat, nice steps, little temple at the Sangam, some devotee, lots of devotees worshipping. Like that we can appreciate the Dham through the temples, through the worship. But really what's going on is different. So this is the place, Yavat, where Srimati Radharani lived after her marriage. That marriage, of course, is a little bit mysterious because we remember that the gopis were performing the Katyayani Vrat and worshipping the goddess Bhadrakali for the sake of getting Krishna as their husband. Because that's... So for 1 month, they fasted very strictly and performed so many austerities. It is said that the gopis were together and they were all eagerly pushing each other. If one was not up yet, the other one would go and say, "Oh, you're still sleeping? Yeah, so late." And in this way they would perform their austerity. And then it is said that they desired Krishna to be their husband. And in a way, Krishna fulfilled that by stealing the gopis' clothes and so on. So that they were forced to appear naked before him, which a woman should only appear naked before her husband. So in that way, Krishna accepted them as his wives. And we see sometimes marriages. Radharani is married to Krishna. Or Lalita was married to Krishna. Suddenly one day the gopis started to tie the cloth together and suddenly started, Tunga Vijaya started to chant marriage mantras and so on. Lita is like, "What's happening here? I won't marry this wretch." that she was. So like that, what are these marriages with others? The gopis, it is said the gopis, they were when Krishna was at Bamsiwat playing his flute, the gopis were attracted by that sound, and they all left their house, they left their household duties, and they all joined Krishna. So what is the situation between these gopis and the husbands? And did they have a double life? Jai Shri
Radha.
और नीचे से सब प्रसाद लेके जाना और एक ध्यान करना इस निर्वाण कार्य में विकट भक्तों से सेवा करा देना मणि की. हाँ, ये ध्यान रखना. अभी इसमें ये निर्वाण चला हुआ है.
अच्छा अच्छा.
वो भक्तों से ही काम होता है, तो इन सब से बोल देना निर्वाण कार्य में मणि और प्रसाद सब ले.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So here Srimata Radharani lived after her marriage to Abhimanyu, right? And we'll read a few things from Nectar of Devotion. One day, Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Radharani, was returning home, and at that time, he could not see that Krishna was there in his house. Krishna immediately changed his dress to look exactly like Abhimanyu, and approached Abhimanyu's mother, Jatila, addressing her thus, "My dear mother, I'm your real son, Abhimanyu, but just see, Krishna, dressed up like me, is coming before you." Jatila, the mother of Abhimanyu, immediately believed that Krishna was her own son and thus became very angry at her real son who was coming home. She began to drive away her real son who was crying, "Mother, mother, what are you doing?" Seeing this incident, all the girls of Radharani who were present there began to smile and a portion of their teeth was visible. This is an incident of Hasita, smiling. So, Rupa Goswami is describing various symptoms in ecstasy and devotional service, and he describes hasita here, smiling, different types of smiling or laughing. When the teeth are distinctly visible in a smile, that is called vihasita. One day, when Krishna was engaged in stealing butter and yogurt in the house of Jatila, he assured his friends, "My dear friends, I know that this old lady is now sleeping very profoundly because she is breathing very deeply. Let us silently steal butter and yogurt without making any disturbance." But the old lady, Jatila, was not sleeping, so she could not contain her smiling, and her teeth immediately became distinctly visible. This is an incident of vihasita, smiling. So it's interesting. We have basically Jyotila, the mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani. We have a husband, Abhimanyu. It is said that Abhimanyu is some sort of shadow expansion from Krishna. He's like not really having a real relationship with his wife, as husband and wife. He's never touching his wife. But somehow or other he is there because the whole arrangement is simply based on rasa. Yeah? And the purpose of the rasa is they are meant to bring out this viraha, or this mood of separation between Radha and Krishna. So in a way, Abhimanyu and Jyotila, and Kotila also, the sister of Abhimanyu, they are, it is not about the marriage of Abhimanyu and Radharani. It is about Jyotila, Kotila, and Abhimanyu assisting in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and increasing that separation, and making it very difficult. They have a sound system.
Which you can see.
Making it, we send them down. All the way from Bengal. So anyway, the point is, they are facilitating Radha and Krishna. Therefore we see that Jyotila... So anyway, the it's hard. Keep my mind. I think we'll just chant for 5 more minutes because I can't think. So then, Abhimanyu, being Krishna's expansion and being like a shadow of Krishna is present more as a person on stage. I'm not sure what the English word is for figurant, you know. Is that an English word? No.
A prop.
No, it's not a prop, but it's like a person who's on the stage sort of just dressed up in a costume and mainly is there. Huh?
An extra.
An extra? That must be a better word for it. Okay, I accept it. We accept it, but I'll look in the dictionary later. It's easier. Anyway, whatever. So, more a background personality to just add to the mood of the stage. And Jyotila the same, that's why when Krishna is speaking with his friends about stealing butter and yogurt in the house of Jyotila, then Jyotila is actually smiling, yeah? Which shows that Jyotila is actually enjoying it, that Krishna is coming to steal in her house, although Jyotila is acting most antagonistic towards Krishna. I mean, calls him a black snake. That black snake, basically. And, like, is just always upset and always suspecting and always and everywhere, at every moment that Radha and Krishna are about to meet, Jyotila is always appearing somewhere. Jyotila is always nearby. Jyotila is always as the threat, you know, just about there to catch them, and so on. So That's why Krishna is speaking loudly, you know, that he's going to steal the butter and the yogurt from Jatila. Just so that, you know, Jatila can understand the real reason why Krishna comes here. Right? For the butter and the yogurt, obviously. Nothing else. Right? So that's the reason why he's hanging around the house. He's hanging around everybody's house who has butter and yogurt. And so, you know, so it's all a cover-up. So in this way, it is carrying on. Okay, well, just also read from Kotila. I think it's with Kotila. Search. No results. Nuclear, maybe Kotila. Let's see how you spell it. Yeah. Okay, try it like this. Why is it not coming? Is it separate? Yeah.
How was the spelling?
Kutila. Sometimes there are indirect sarcastic remarks which also create atihasita circumstances. An example of such a remark is a statement which was made by one of the cowherd girls to Kutila, the daughter of Jatila and sister of Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Radharani. Indirectly, Kutila was insulted by the following statements. My dear Kutila, daughter of Jatila, your breasts are long, are as long as string beans, simply dry and long. Your nose is so gorgeous that it defies the beauty of the noses of frogs, and your eyes are more beautiful than the eyes of dogs. Your lips defy the flaming cinders of fire, and your abdomen is as beautiful as a big drum. Therefore, my dear beautiful Kutila, you are the most beautiful of all the cowherd girls of Vrindavan, and because of your extraordinary beauty, I think you must be beyond the attraction of the sweet blowing of Krishna's flute. That's Kutila. Kutila is kind of... because Kutila is also antagonistic. Right? She's always... She's Jatila's expansion, you know. Jatila sends her everywhere to go and check what's going on. She's spying everywhere, always. There's that story of Kokilavan, right, which is not far from here. It's about maybe 1.5 to 2 kilometers, something like that. And so one day the cuckoos, right, they were singing like so amazingly beautiful that Jatila was even saying to all the girls, listen to this. They weren't even paying attention to it, but Jatila was saying, you must listen to the cuckoos. It's amazing today how they sing. And she sent the girls to go and listen to the cuckoos. And of course, it was Krishna who was singing as a cuckoo. And in that way, and in Sanskrit, Kokila. So that meeting place is there, Kokilavan. And sometimes we go there also. But you can't do everything in one day. So today we will just go to Tirthadhamma. So Rupa Goswami is in this way describing here the pastimes of Krishna and gives us that sambandha. So here we are seeing particularly that mood of separation. which is so difficult to understand. Right? It's like how it can be the highest. It's very hard. The other day I was reading something about it in a commentary of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, which I didn't read before. And it was about when Krishna stayed in Mathura after killing Kansa, then it said that Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, well, there was this celestial voice that mentioned that Krishna was the eighth son, so therefore the Yadus wouldn't let him go. They said, the voice said, you're the eighth son of Vasudev who had killed Kamsa. So, that's the proof. You are the son of Vasudev. Therefore, you cannot go. You have to take care of your parents. So Krishna then agreed reluctantly. And Nanda Maharaj went to Vrindavan. But it is said that Krishna also, unseen, went with Nanda Maharaj. And Vasudev Krishna stayed behind in Mathura. And then it says that Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda and all the residents of Vrindavan, they expanded themselves into another form. And there were two forms simultaneously. One that was going into the great separation, which is what we usually hear. And the other one, they were actually having pastimes with Krishna. So, and it's interesting because Prabhupada also makes this point in his Krishna book that Krishna went with Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj is not alone. Now, Krishna did go back. So this separation thing is difficult to understand, but it intensifies the longing and the desire. And the point is, it's not only intensifies, but the other thing is, it causes remembrance of Krishna. And the remembrance of Krishna is so fulfilling, and therefore that separation then immediately stops. Because as soon as the remembrance begins, then there's ecstasy immediately. That is just totally fulfilling. And therefore, there's not like that kind of separation where there's only emptiness. Right? See, here in the material world, there's separation and nothing will do but the meeting, right? And ultimately, but with Radha and Krishna it's different, because even the remembrance is fulfilling. So here in this place, the mood of separation is very intense because of this constant guarding. Yeah? There's hardly any opportunity, so really stolen moments, right, that Radha and Krishna can possibly for a moment. Of course, there are many different tricks that are being employed. Some of these tricks are that Radha and Krishna are... well, we know that Mother Yasoda is every day making huge arrangements for Krishna's breakfast. And once Radharani received blessings of Durvasa Muni. She served him very nicely, and Durvasa Muni gave her the blessing that whatever she would cook would taste like nectar, would give long life, right? And therefore Yasoda, she wanted that Radharani would cook for Krishna so that he would have a long life. Right? And then, every day, Baladevi Jabusan in Aishvarya Kadambini describes how every day Srimati Radharani is carried in a palanquin and the gopis are fanning all the way, the sakis, and then they bring her to the house of Yasoda where she cooks for Krishna. So in this way, Yasoda was very pleased, very, very pleased with everything that Radharani had done. So Yasoda decided to make a trunk with gifts for her. Nice clothes, nice jewels, and she was filling up that trunk, and Radharani actually saw that, you know, that she was putting things inside and so on, and the trunk was there, and Radharani was cooking, so the trunk was standing there. Then Krishna and Yasoda had also made arrangements that, you know, that Abhimanyu should come to collect this trunk. Yeah? So that was arranged, and so Abhimanyu was sent to pick up the trunk, and then Krishna went inside the trunk, took some stuff out, and Abhimanyu carried him into the house. And, you know, and under the saris there was Krishna. So in this way, many secret meetings took place. Here also there's that, well, there's a story how Radharani was experiencing great separation from Krishna, and as a result she became like so unwell, so ill, that she really looked like terrible. So Kundalata mentioned to Jatila that that Radharani had been bitten by a snake, and that it was the poison. So you know, then what to do? And then Kundalata said, "Well, there is this one lady. She chants mantras, and they say that she's really good and that it really works." So then that lady was called, and quickly, and she came, and the lady chanted all the mantras, and slowly, just by the mantras, by the sound of the mantras, Radharani started recovering, so her color returned and so on, because it turned out that lady chanting the mantras was Krishna. So like that, there are many such kind of stories and tricks, and there's also the Prema Samputa, which I like a lot, because I'll tell first the story, tell it more often because I like it. And it is the story where in the courtyard of the house, well, of course 5,000 years ago there was another house here, that's obvious. In the courtyard of the house, one day Jatila was not here. And in the courtyard of the house, some effulgent female personality appeared, and she sat in the courtyard of Radharani's house. So from her quarters, Radharani could see this goddess. So she sent someone to welcome her and inquire from her for what reason she had come. And then that lady didn't speak at all. She didn't reply to anything. She was just quiet. So Radharani was thinking, well, what happened? You know, is she upset for some reason with us? So Radharani then came out herself to pacify her, and Radharani said, "I think that you must have been affected by some great grief, that many devotees, that you have unseen devotees, that I think you must have become affected by great grief, and because you are not speaking. But if you reveal your heart, you will feel relief. So we are young ladies like you, and therefore like-minded, and therefore we will be able to understand your predicament. So if you share with us, you will feel relieved from this sorrow that you're carrying in your heart." So in this way, Radharani was pleading, and then finally the demigoddess began to speak, and she said, "I'm indeed carrying a great sorrow within my heart. Radharani said, please, let us offer you some relief. We'll massage and you tell us, and you know. And then the demigoddess said, yes, actually, I am a demigoddess. I am from the heavenly planets. And she said, we, the devatas, we are witnessing everything. We are traveling in planes, we see the pastimes. We're able to see everything that takes place. And she said, I can no longer tolerate it. It is just too much. I can no longer tolerate it. No. I can no longer tolerate the way Krishna is treating you. Said, you are such a dedicated devotee. You have given your whole life, everything you have given to Krishna, completely, full dedication, 100%. You would die for him, you would do anything for him, and look at him. Such a debauchee. Look at his reciprocation to your unalloyed love. Right? Look how he treats you. Unfaithful as he is, he goes here, there, everywhere, while you dedicate fully to it. I can no longer see it. It's too painful. It's too painful, she said. Radharani smiled. And Radharani said, no. You have not understood at all. You have not understood at all. Huh? Krishna and I are never separated. Krishna never neglects me. Never. Never ever neglects me. Krishna and I are one. Krishna and I are one. She said, we are one because I am always thinking of Krishna and Krishna is always thinking of me. And in this way, we are one. One in thought. Just one in thought. The demigoddess, upon hearing all this, was not relieved. Her face still with an expression of sadness. The demigoddess said, my dear Radharani, today I am witnessing the extent of your love. It's just amazing. Amazing how deep your love for Krishna is. That even his unfaithful behavior cannot in any way break that love. And that this love is so deep for Krishna that you even start wishful thinking. And you even start thinking that he loves you as much as you do him. But the fact of the matter is, his behavior shows different. His behavior shows. Huh? Koi baat nahin. Angrez mein aate to Hindi to nahin chalenge. Huh? No, I'm saying to them. Nahin kata to Angrez mein chalta hai to kya karwa denge. So anyway. So the demigoddess was still not convinced. But Radharani said, no. Oh no. He said, there's no doubt about what I'm saying. Krishna is equally fully dedicated as I am dedicated. There is no doubt about it. Krishna and I are one. Then the demigoddess said, If that is really true what you say, then I will only believe it, that if by thinking of Krishna, you can simply bring in here. If your thought and the thoughts of Krishna are one, then if you think of Krishna and want to bring him here, then he must know that. And then he must come. So I will only believe it when Krishna comes. So Radharani said, all right. So she closed her eyes in deep meditation and deeply began to think of Krishna coming. And as she was thinking of Krishna coming, then at one point she opened her eyes and Krishna was there. But the demigod had gone, disappeared. Krishna, totally elated in that sense. Where did that goddess go? Oh, she had to go. She could not wait any longer. So, this is Prema Samputa, and it is very nice because Radha and Krishna are one. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, says Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha and Krishna. So sometimes, so this shows the oneness of Radha and Krishna who exist in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this is very nice. So, you have any questions?
I have one. Didn't Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda think that perhaps it would be nice if Krishna would marry Radharani?
Yeah, Yashoda was always thinking that it would be great. But unfortunately, somehow or other, this marriage was arranged in a rush with Abhimanyu. In the Vidukta Madhava, it is described that the reason was because there's a discussion between Purnamasi and Nandamukhi, and the question is asked, how is it possible that Mukhara, it is the grandmother of Radharani. How is it possible that this... that they married him to Abhimanyu. Said, the reason is because Kamsa had an eye on her. Kamsa had an eye on her. And, you know, they were very worried that Kamsa, you know, would just send soldiers and take her. So therefore, they quickly married her off. You know, to like the first boy available. They what to do? They had to, you know, because, I mean, Kamsa was terrible. He would just take girls and, like, you know, he wouldn't worry about marriage or anything. He'd just take them and then, you know, that was it. So they're very worried that that might happen, but married girls he couldn't take, you know, so they quickly married him off. That's what happened. It's tragic.
And Maharaj, according to Jiva Goswami, I've heard that there was a big marriage with Krishna and Balaram.
Yeah, in Gopalchampu there is also the marriage described. so, and there it's even said that Radha and Krishna are eternally married. Right? So, we understand that these things all exist parallel, you know? There's like different parallel pastimes going on, and differently, in some expansion they are eternally married, in other expansion in separation, like that. Okay. In the Gopalchampu, there you get like a situation where in Vrindavan, a narrator, two brothers, they come and they are Madhukanta Snikthakanta, and they come to tell the pastimes of Radha and Krishna to the residents of Vrindavan. So Nanda and Yasoda and Radharani are all listening. And then it's all described. And then at one point, Krishna is about to leave. It goes through all the pastimes and Krishna is about to leave Vrindavan for Mathura. And then suddenly, sort of, they all stand up, and the whole narrative is over, right? And they return to their eternal pastimes. And it is said that these pastimes are actually taking place in Golok, and it's all like, yeah, they're discussing. So actually, the Kopot Champu is the eternal residence in Golok, and they're hearing these pastimes from Boma Vrindavan. As we are sitting for Katha here, hearing about the spiritual world, they sit for Katha and they hear about the material world, but about Krishna's pastimes in the material world. Louder. Radharani did what?
Killed them?
No. Did she have children?
Oh.
No.
Huh? In Mathura, you mean, had children? Yeah. In Mathura, he had so many children. Yeah. 10 children with each queen. Yeah. No children. Okay. Well, we sing till 9 o'clock and then we have breakfast.